So, Father, we just thank you for just anointing tonight and just guiding and directing just our lips, Lord, to edify each other and just to be used of you. And Lord, we just thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for just everybody in it that you've provided this so we can be, you know, in fellowship together in one accord and growing and praying and just sharing the awesome things that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We bind up the principalities and powers that would try to bring distractions or any issues in the equipment or software. And we just thank you, Lord, for just blessing this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right, who needs... Wade and Jeanette, I'm going to mute you and Linda. I know that. Does anybody else need muted? All right. Go ahead and mute your phones and let's. Does anybody need prayer or have anybody they want to pray for? It's usually how we start off.
Malcolm, I do.
Okay, Malcolm.
Yeah, I have a. For some reason, I've been very reluctant to follow through on this particular situation. I have a. I go to a nursing home here. I play there on a monthly basis, and then, well, whenever I get in there. And there's a lady there who, she and her husband were, I don't know if I brought this up here or not. I've talked to some other folks or somebody else on the call here, but there's a couple. When I first was baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was an older couple who were really kind of helping me along, especially a husband was helping me in the things of the Spirit, and just wonderful. But the problem is both he and then this so-called pastor of this little fellowship both started having, going into false revival stuff and really pushing Todd Bentley's program. This is back in 2008. So they're encouraging people to get on God TV and, you know, listen to Todd Bentley. And that's when I separated from all these folks. And so this gentleman's wife is now in the nursing home with a stroke. Her whole right side is paralyzed. She can't talk. But she does understand when I talk to her and responds with grunts and whatnot. And I kind of outlined for her how hard it was for me to separate, you know, from them and, you know, she and her husband. And I told her, I kind of went through why I had to do that. I'd already told them all that, so they knew why I had left. But at this point, especially we know with what we know with the whole false revival thing, I just don't feel like I'm in a position to pray for her healing at this point in faith until I talk to her husband, who I am really reluctant to call because he was pretty strong on this whole false revival stuff. He had actually had a little bit of a temper tantrum when I talked to him about it. But nonetheless, both he and his wife are very dear people, especially his wife. I mean, just... So anyway, I need to call him because if I can't get him to come into agreement on some things, it's going to be hard for me to pray for this lady. It really breaks my heart to see her in this situation. It's so unnecessary. But it's so typical of those who were involved in, you know, this false revival stuff. So I just would like prayer that I, when I call this gentleman that, but I do need to call him. I've told her that I'm going to call him, but I haven't yet. That the Lord will just be guiding and all those whatever spirits will be. You know, I don't even know what he's thinking is now, but I know he's, you know, he's about to lose his wife. So anyway, that's my request. Where is that mute button?
Yeah, come on, Tam. Where's the mute button?
Oh, all right. Sorry about that. Started off a good prayer. So, Father, we just lift up Malcolm to you, Lord, and you know his heart, and you know you know, he wants to be guided of you, Lord, and you know, his heart he's got compassion for this lady that's had the stroke, and he loves them. He loves, you know, her husband, but there's a religious false revival spirit there. And so, Father, right now, we just put our faith together. We bind up those kundalini spirits. We bind up those false revival spirits. We bind up just any spirits that have been transferred as far as from Bentley or any other false prophet. And, Lord, we just forbid those spirits to get riled up. We forbid them to speak. We forbid it in Jesus' name. And, Father, we just ask that you just move in a situation that you grant just repentance as far as to this lady. Lord, we just pray that you're going to use Malcolm, you're going to guide him, and you're just going to give him the wisdom to speak to this man, and you're going to open the door, and you're going to prepare his heart. You're going to let him know, you know, when the time is to speak to him. And Lord, we just thank you for that, and we just put our faith with his. And Lord, we're asking for a miracle here, that they will see the true power of God, not these false, you know, demonic realm power. And we just thank you for the compassion you put in Malcolm. We thank you for using him mightily in this situation. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, God. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you talk to him, you know, obviously make sure you guard your heart against that spirit. And those people who have kundalini, they also have faction. And when you talk to them, ask about unforgiveness. Because, you know, that's one of the things that turns people over to false doctrines and turns people over to workings of error is unforgiveness. And there was a lady named Vicky who had a stroke because she was in unforgiveness as well. So maybe if you feel led, you know, to talk to him about unforgiveness as well, because usually hospital trips are because of unforgiveness, seems like.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, I know she's very receptive to what I'm saying. She's really responding, you know, with tears she was so happy that I prayed with her, and I told her she was praying with another tongue right now because she was groaning. But, you know, she couldn't do much audibly other than make noise. But I was just joking. But anyway, let me just tell you, when she first, when she was baptized, it was up where we are in the wintertime. The rivers here get pretty cold. Very cold. Anyway, she was out in the water in the river being baptized, and when the guy that was baptizing her came close to where she was, he noticed that the water all around her was quite warm. And incredible miracle. And this is before they got into all the goofy stuff, which has happened probably a little bit before I met them. So they were probably already going in that direction. But it's so sad to see people that have really, the Lord has really used when they get caught up in something like this. I've lost a number of friends to this. So, by the way, Andrew Strom just came out with a short 4-minute video. He's going to come out with another sequel to his series on this whole kundalini thing. But his last little thing is about Bethel and the guy down there. And actually, his wife is the one that's into a lot of this, you know, the God vibration and the vibrations and a lot of the New Age. She's really kind of spearheading a lot of this New Age stuff. So it's so sad to see, you know, so-called Christianity just go headlong into Hinduism and Buddhism and all this stuff. So back to you.
Well, Bill brought up a good point as far as you can share Vicky's testimony, because she was paralyzed, you know, with a stroke. And when she realized she was on unforgiveness and forgave, the Lord healed her. and I'm sure you've heard that testimony. That might that might be a good testimony for her.
Let me just ask what your thoughts are in this situation, because she is very responsive, but my feeling is if her husband is not, I hesitate to go ahead and pray with her. Just maybe if you could address that kind of situation, because I know we run into a lot of folks who, you know, in a marriage situation, the husband has authority there. So I don't feel comfortable overriding. Go ahead.
One thing, Malcolm, she has to work out her own salvation with fear and trembling. And if she knows the truth and she understands the truth, then if her husband doesn't allow it, it makes no difference. She's going against the scriptures, and she needs to go with the scriptures. You understand?
Yes. This is a big question I have just because of the marriage relationship. What you're saying is really helping me understand this, because it doesn't mean she has to make a break with him. She just has to go on with the Lord.
Yes.
And I know she's there. Her heart is so soft to the Lord, and so it's just I do need to talk to him first, because if we can come into a little, like Michael was saying, if we can come into a little bit of agreement or into agreement regarding this, and if he can renounce that stuff, it'll really help in
this
situation.
Yeah, but if he's not in agreement, you know, with your disagreement with this Kundalini spirit that they going with, you know, and she wants to get free, you know, then it's up to you to give her the truth. And I'm sure he doesn't mind you praying for her, does he?
Oh, I haven't even talked to him yet, so I'm sure not.
Yeah.
In fact, I was even going to bring in my little pump organ, and I have a little but it's a really small portable pump organ. Just take it into their room there at the nursing home, and the nursing home's happy with it. So
you got a squeeze box?
Well, I've never seen one in the States. It's not an accordion. I don't know if you've seen a harmonium from India and some of those countries. It's you pump it with your left hand. Kind of a you pull these bellows towards you with your left hand, and then with your right hand you play. So that kind of cuts out your left hand for doing cording and stuff like that. But this little pump organ was made in China. It's got little bellows, bellows on the kind of on the bottom instead of on the back, and then you pump it. It has these straps that come up from a little thing on the floor. It sits on the floor.
Right.
So it's so nifty. It's the niftiest little pump organ. It has great sound.
Hey, Michael Hare.
Yes.
Are you rubbing your mic up against something or breathing on it? You got a lot of mic noise.
It could be. How's that? Is that better?
Much better. Much better.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, I had me. The mic was down and hitting my shoulder, I guess.
Okay.
You are Nancy.
Well, not. Yeah, it's still kind of making it. Still kind of hitting. So.
Oh, that's the fan.
Okay.
Oh man, this fan is such a. Okay, let me get it out of the way.
Thank you, Tim, for praying and for Bill. What you had to say there, Bill, and also Michael.
All right. Well, we
really
just
sets my mind at ease.
Yeah. If that gets on their heart, you know, during the week, and that just keep praying for Malcolm. And I believe the door is going to be open. The Lord's going to open that door, and I think we're going to get an awesome testimony. So, all right, anybody else need prayer? Or would like to pray?
Yeah, Tim.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, Tracy called us this afternoon. She has to work at night, so she's got a hard time listening because she needs to sleep. But she called us and asked if you'd pray for her neighbor. He's got a bad shoulder and has diabetes. So she's wondering if we'd pray for him.
Okay. Do you know if he's a believer or?
I think, I'm not positive, but I believe he's, in the denomination somewhere.
Amen. All right, let's pray. So everybody put their faith together for Tracy's neighbor. So, Father, we just thank you that we just put our faith together for her neighbor's shoulder. And we just speak to that shoulder right now, and we command it to line up with the Word of God. We command it to be healed in Jesus' name. We command the pain to loose that shoulder right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, you know what's going on. And we just ask, Lord, that you just line it up. Repair any tendons or muscles that might be damaged. And we just thank you that it is healed in Jesus' name. And we rebuke that spirit of diabetes, and we forbid it to be manifesting in his body. And we just call it to loose his body now. And we give you the glory, Lord, for healing him of that diabetes and delivering him and setting him free. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody agree with that? Amen?
Amen. I believe it, and I'll tell you what. He's going to get sick on that diabetic medicine because he's healed. Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else need prayer or want to pray for somebody? Well, all right. Hey, I just...
I'm going to pray. Can I pray?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Father, I just ask and I pray, Lord, that you give us specific instructions as to what we can look forward to here in the next few days. Lord, I ask for dreams and visions of the things that you're going to do in the next few days, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show us what you're fixing to do, whatever it is, Lord. And if you're not going to do anything, Lord, we ask for some kind of confirmation there, Lord, with dreams and visions and words of knowledge, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Everybody,
amen.
Please believe with me.
We're believing, man.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I had someone I wanted to pray for. Had a dream. I had a dream about my younger brother, Jimmy. He's 27. He turned 27 2 days ago. I had a dream a bail bondsman was hunting him down to pick him up, because he had unpaid fines, and he was going, in the dream, he was going to jail for a long time. And in the dream, Bill Bonson was just, big old guy coming to grab him, and I'm just kind of watching it all go down, and he got handcuffed and, taken away. And so I woke up, and I prayed against it, and I called my dad, and I said, Dad, listen. You got to listen, man, because he lives with my dad. He rents a house from my dad. I said, Dad, you got to listen. The Lord gave me a dream about Jimmy going to jail because he has unpaid fines or whatever. And I had no idea, that he owed any type of money to the law. And so my dad calls me back and says, yeah, Billy, he does owe money. And, I called my brother. I started texting my brother. I said, listen, man, I had a dream, and he goes, oh, you heard that from Dad? I said, no, I'm the one who told Dad. And then he confirmed it. I had a dream. He went away for a long time. I said, and then I talked to a friend of mine, and his grandson went away for a long time over fines. And he denied it at first. He said he had a improper passing ticket. And this is in New Jersey, and cops are real sticklers up there. And but anyway, come to find out, he owes $800 for shoplifting. He shoplifted last winter, I believe, in October sometime, October or November. And so I was praying, you know, I prayed with Brandy, I prayed with a couple people, and I'm just going to keep believing until he's paid the fines. And well, he owes $800, and you know, I said, you have to come up with some, because he's not working. I said, you have to come up with some kind of game plan where you are slowly pitching away and chipping away at that bill. And so I just wanted to pray for him, and I just want to, you know, thank God and give God the glory for the warning. And Father, we just humbly come before you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for the warning about my brother, the warning over my brother's life. And Father, I just humble myself before you, Lord, and I beg you for your grace and mercy over my brother's life. I thank you for the good report, Lord. I thank you that we have the good report to stand on, Father, that you're going to miraculously pay that bill, Father, and that my brother is not going to jail. And that's the sum of the matter. That's the done deal. Promise of the scriptures, Father, that whatsoever we ask you, it shall be done in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Father, for the testimony. And in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I think it's awesome how the Lord will speak to us in dreams and bring warnings and bring situations to pray about. And he's, you know, he loves us that much. So it's kind of awesome. Anyways, I asked Bill to come on tonight. And he's got a testimony to share, and I just asked him to pray and you know, just share whatever the Lord, you know, brings on his heart. And we were talking a little bit ago, and he came to Tennessee to visit, and a little over 2 years ago, and he just shared with me that he got up in the morning and asked the Lord that if he was supposed to stick around, he'd only been here I think a week. If he's supposed to stick around, that the Lord would make it very clear. And Bill said that day he totaled his truck and ended up in the hospital and started dealing with him on some issues of unforgiveness and a few things like that. And now it's been 2 years, and I've just seen such a growth, and you know, in my brother here. So. Bill, it's been a while since you've been on. Why don't you just give a little bit of your background and the testimony that the Lord just did for you. Amen.
Amen, brother. Yeah. My name is Bill Steenland. I've been here for 2 years and almost 2 months. And I was listening to UBM for about 2 years before I got here. And I've been in what I call boot camp. What we call boot camp here at UBM, and every day is training, and every day is, you know, the fight, the good fight, you know. And I just wanted to share a couple things about, you know, trials and unforgiveness, because the Lord has just recently brought me out of a lot of bondage that I was in to a spirit of unforgiveness, root of bitterness, and rejection that I had towards two people, my grandmother and my brother's, or my dad's brother, Uncle Bobby, my Uncle Bobby. And I just kind of wanted to, you know, lay a little foundation about just kind of where I was at in the Lord and you know, the type of things I've been through. I first came to the Lord. I was battling depression, schizophrenia, and suicide and poverty, and you know, my mom's house that we were all chipping away in was foreclosed, and we didn't have you know, we didn't have electricity, and at times we didn't have gas at times, you know. And just really lived in the slums in New Jersey for a long time. And you know, growing up, there's just a ton of violence, gang violence, drug abuse, you know, the place, you know, New Jersey, you just recognize it now. It's just, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, and just a, you know, a wicked place to be. And, you know, I had a lot of generational curses on my life. But I cried out to God, and, you know, the Lord really blessed me and healed me and taught me spiritual warfare. And I've been healed of a lot of things. And, you know, I've had a lot of experiences in the Lord, and I thank God for that. And, you know, I think, you know, the main reason I think Tim wanted me to come on and share is because I had a root of unforgiveness that had been sending me into tailspins my entire Christian life. And had dealt with unforgiveness when I first got here. When I first got born again, the only thing I really knew about the Lord was the fear of God, don't sin, bind the devil, loose the devil, stand on the word, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, quote the word, bind and loose, pray all day. And I got free. I mean, really, really free in big ways, giant strides, and huge, huge healings of years of bondage and of all kinds, you know, rage and anger and drug use. And just it was a total freedom walk with the Lord, and it was a giant blessing. And well, then my dad moved. I was renting a property from my dad that he owned, and my dad, you know, moved my brother and his girlfriend into the house, into another section of the house. And I fell into unforgiveness towards pretty much all three of them. And my entire world got tossed upside down. You know, I had a great job working at a chemical plant. I was operating a $250,000 piece of machinery and moving 6 million pounds of PVC plastic powder a night, you know. And I was dating a girl I thought was going to be my wife. And everything was great. And I fell into unforgiveness towards my dad and my brother because, you know, my dad rolled the red carpet out for my brother, who did nothing but evil to him and to me at the place that I had moved out of. And, you know, he was just wheeling and dealing, and people were getting killed, and he was growing marijuana, and it was just, you know, the cops were everywhere, and I was, this is before I had gotten born again, and here I am, I'm battling all this stuff, and my brother was just, you know, totally betraying me. And when my dad rolled the red carpet out for him and just totally blessed him, I did not accept that at all, and was just totally heated and furious. And the Lord just, you know, there's no other way to say it, the Lord totally beat me up. And, well, I ended up coming to Tennessee and starting all over again, you know. You have to forgive from your heart, and if you don't, you know, the devil has a legal ground to come back. And when I first got here, you know, like I said, I told Tim, you know, I was asking the Lord, do you want me to stay here? Do you want me to go back? I knew I didn't have anything to go back to, you know, and I ended up totaling my truck, and I was in the hospital, and the Lord revealed unforgiveness. But, you know, 2 years later, just recently, last week, the Lord revealed to me that I had a lot of unforgiveness towards my grandmother and my brother. No, I'm sorry, my uncle. And that was causing me to go into tailspins constantly. And, you know, I've had a lot of good, strong experiences with the Lord, good healings. I've got healed of a dislocated hip, gotten healed of depression, I've gotten healed of schizophrenia, I've gotten healed of coughs and colds and sicknesses and sick stomachs. And, you know, I've had a fuel pump healed twice by the Lord. And, you know, I really considered myself, you know, strong in the faith. And, you know, I've had headlights healed, you know, smaller stuff here and there. I had a, you know, MP3 player healed, and all kinds of stuff, you know. And I considered myself strong in the Lord, but there was just a cycle that was getting worse and worse and worse and worse of total failure. And I would, you know, fight the good fight for the renewed mind of Christ and overcome. And just literally watch it all just crumble to the ground and crumble to the ground. And this was going on, it'd be about once a month, then it'd be about once a week. then it was just like every day was a tailspin. And that's pretty much been my entire experience here at UBM. And I've had I have seen a lot of miracles since I've been here, but that open door was just a constant thing that would just really just destroy my fruit. And you know, I'm glad Brother Malcolm brought up, you know, what he brought up, because the two times I was in the hospital was because of unforgiveness. And, you know, a man can receive nothing unless it come from heaven. And basically what the Lord showed me, because I was crying to God, fasting, praying, and reading, and that's all I did with my spare time. I'd go to work, come home, fast, read, pray. I lost a lot of weight. I almost had a heat stroke at work because the plant I work at is very hot, very labor-intensive. And I was really seeking God as hard as I could. And you know, right when I would overcome, I would just collapse. And you know, it was like I'd be slimed by the devil, and the fruit would be gone, and the faith would be gone, and the word would be gone. And, you know, finally, Tim prayed, you know, because, you know, people were seeing the tailspins that I was getting in. And Tim prayed to, you know, for the Lord to reveal any unforgiveness that may be there. And sure enough, he did that exact night. And, you know, the Lord, you know, he asked the Lord, well, Lord, I was seeking you for so long. And, you know, the Lord just kind of put the scripture in my mind, you know, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And, you know, even though I was seeking him by faith and fighting and fighting and fighting the good fight of faith and overcoming, what the Lord showed me through the scriptures was that you'll never be an overcomer if you have any kind of ought or unforgiveness or rejection or bitterness and things along those lines to anyone, your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ, your family members, friends, anyway, saved, not saved, doesn't matter. And, you know, if the Lord put on my scripture, put on my heart the scripture, you know, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he'll keep my word. And I and my Father will come and manifest ourselves unto him. And he put another scripture on me from 1 John. He who loveth not his brother whom he can see cannot love God whom he cannot see. And, you know, basically, Galatians really lays it out. Faith works through love. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 says, you know, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And I, you know, my whole Christian walk, I had a problem with that because I just didn't see it. I saw, you know, the devil comes against you. You bind, you loose, you release your faith, you stand on the word. And I really just didn't, I didn't get the whole love thing. I just didn't. And I know why, because there was a root of bitterness and unforgiveness. And, that will totally stop you from being able to manifest Christ. And it will turn you over to a working of error. It can turn you over to Kundalini, which I battled. It can turn you over to, faction, which I battled. It can turn you over to, just totally wanting to give up. And you can fight it and cast it down because you know what you need to do. But at the end of the day, you won't overcome until you deal with what's in your heart. And, you know, what's even more important is that God is so sovereign over our trials. He's so sovereign over everything that passes through our mind. Okay, you just try and imagine for 2 years, you're trying to overcome the same thing every week again and again and again. And as you get there and you start overcoming, the chair gets knocked out from under you, and you don't know why. And finally, somebody prays for you, and the source of the problem is revealed. Well, you know, just the amount of freedom that comes. You know, it took me about a week to fully forgive them, and I was, you know, and I was releasing my faith, releasing them in my heart. You know how it says, release and you shall be released. And I was just taking deep breaths and letting it go. And as I did that, the Lord started filling me up with joy, started healing me, and he just, I mean, I was totally, about a week and a half into it, was a Thursday and Friday, I was just totally ecstatic at work, totally full of joy, full of happiness, full of the joy of the Lord, and just really excited what he's doing in my life. And, you know, I was just so grateful for what he did. You know, at the end of the day, he's in control of everything, and it's extremely sobering. You know, I realized when I had fully forgiven him and I was laying there, you know, really in the joy and peace of the Lord and the mind of Christ, just how sovereign he is over every thought that passes through your mind. He let that stuff happen to me to keep me on the straight and narrow path. And he let that stuff happen to me to make me strong in the Lord and teach me how to fight and teach me how to overcome and teach me to crucify my flesh and teach me to fast and teach me to not care about the world and teach me to let things go and seek him with fervency. And he did it. He allowed that to happen to raise me up in the Lord and to strengthen me. And, you know, I just really give God the glory. And, you know, it's not all about what you know. It's about where is your heart towards the Lord. If your heart is right towards the Lord, then you are fixing to be a huge overcomer. Because the Lord tries the hearts and the reins. You know, things you know, people who are extremely gifted in teaching and who are extremely gifted in understanding the Word of God, that's wonderful. And it's great because people perish for lack of knowledge, and you're also renewed unto knowledge. But your heart is going to be tried. Your heart is going to be tried. And that's not necessarily going to come down to what you know. It's going to come down to the choices you make, and it's going to come down to grace that you give out to others and grace that is going to end up coming back to you, because the measure we meet is going to be measured back to us. And we have to get the beam out of our own eye, because Jesus said you're not seeing the beam in somebody else's eye if you don't see it in your own. And there was a scripture the Lord put on my heart about the whole ordeal. And, you know, what he showed me was that when you're in a trial, every thought that passes through your mind, the Lord is allowing to either cast it down or to, you know, we're commanded to focus on the good report. But, you know, the devil sends his fiery darts, and God's totally in control of how much you get attacked, how much resistance you get from the devil, how much resistance you get from the flesh. Because, I mean, if you think about it, you know, it says that, you know, the husband that laboreth must first be a partaker of the fruit. And it says that, you know, he that striveth in the games must exercise self-control in all things. So if you look at a physical athlete, you have to have training and you have to have resistance. And you will suffer in the flesh in order to achieve a level of competitiveness in what you're doing, and in order to achieve certain abilities and to achieve greatness. And that's what we're going for. We're going for the prize of the high calling, you know. And it's that resistance that builds your spiritual muscles, that builds your faith. But it is suffering. You know, it says, you know, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. For, you know, he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And when we're dying out to the flesh, and we're dying out to the mind of the flesh, it is death, and it is suffering. You know, and so the enemy can try and play on that, and, you know, you can hear certain things and certain testimonies, and you can say, oh, well, why am I not walking in this? You know, why is this happening with them? It's not happening with me. It says the same sufferings are accomplished by your brethren that are in the world. They're going through it too. But just kind of getting off track here. I wanted to get back into what the Lord showed me about Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar got totally destroyed. And that's what will happen to you if you get, you know, you get caught up in pride, you hold iniquity in your heart, if you have unforgiveness. And he got turned over. Okay. But he came out of it by the grace of God. And there was a scripture here. I'm trying to find on my phone here. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. This is Daniel 4, 34 to 35. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, mine understanding returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty, and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. Mine excellent greatness was added unto me. So, I'm kind of the mind that he, you know, at least remembered a little bit of what his former life was and was crying out to God all that time. And, I'm kind of the mind that he was had an experience with the Lord that allowed him to overcome a trial. But that might not be true. It's just what I think. But, you know, if you really look at this, what it's saying, that and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Okay, so just think about that. The Bible says that you've been chosen. It says that those whom he called, he also foreordained. Those he foreordained, he justified and conformed to be into the image of his son. And those he justified, he also glorified. So if we realize that we're just vessels, okay, this cup of water that's in front of me, that's just a vessel. God picks it up and uses it exactly the way he wants to. He fills it up with exactly what he wants it to. You do it according to your will. And that's what God does, and it says we're vessels of honor. And, you know, what I'm just trying to convey is that the Lord is totally sovereign over our trials. He's sovereign over every thought that passes through your mind. He's sovereign over the resistance that we get from the devil, and he's sovereign over the resistance we get in the flesh. And, you know, it says there's no temptation that comes to a man that he's not able to overcome. And God is also able to make the way of escape. So, you know, what just really stuck out to me was the total sovereignty of God in everything. And once you really get that, it helps you to go through sometimes extremely horrible things, you know, and at the end of the day, what it comes down to is your love for the Father, your love for Jesus, and your love for the brethren. Because it says, if you do not love your brother, whom you can see, you cannot love God, whom you cannot see. And if you can't love God, you can't manifest Jesus, you can't keep his word. Those that love him keep his word. And that's pretty much the testimony. You know, I went through all that for 2 years straight. Overcoming, you know, certain forms of schizophrenia and depression and, you know, rage and anger and, just crying out to God and not understanding why it was going back and forth and back and forth. But come to find out all of it, just like Romans 8 says, I think it's Romans 8 verse 36, all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's, you know, I mean, even the wicked, he makes even the wicked for the day evil, you know, and that's the tempter, that's the accuser. I mean, he allows it. And I just saw it as an excellent, it just blew my mind, the sovereignty of God. You know, I guess that's it.
That's it. Awesome. No, it's kind of interesting how, you know, as far as where you were at, where, you know, you had this great job and you had this girl you thought you were going to marry and you're, you know, living for the Lord and, you know, kind of righteous in your own, in your own self in a way. And then the Lord moves in, your brother, you know, who we know is, you know, dealing drugs, and, you know, he comes in with his girlfriend living in fornication, and puts him in, you know, in the same house with you, and how, you know, one day you're just living, you know, the life of the Lord, and then all of a sudden, you know, in a moment, things change. And the Lord wants to see how we deal with that. And, you know, we could justify it, you know, as far as, you know, however we want to justify it. Oh, you know, Lord, we're, you know, living for you, and, you know, this comes up, and, you know, but all we're doing is justifying that unforgiveness and how that root of bitterness gets in there. And just through one little thing, and a lot of times it's from the people we love, you know, that our family. And, you know, how something like that the Lord can use to test us and try our heart. You know, that's an awesome thing, is that he's going to try our heart no matter where we are. And
yeah,
we're going to walk in that love and grace. And it doesn't matter if they're saved or unsaved or whatever it is. We need to show everybody that same love and that same grace. Right?
One other thing is, you know, what really boggled my mind about that trial and recently is that I had, you know, I still had felt like I had love for them, and I was praying for them all the time, and here I was in unforgiveness towards them. You know, there was that unforgiveness towards them, but at the same time, there was love towards them, and I was praying. I mean, I was on my face a lot. I had a thing where I would come home, when I would come home from Oxy real late, I'd get on my face to make sure I prayed and covered everything, and then I'd get back and get to bed and go to sleep, and I made sure I did that every night. That way I'd pray for my brother and my dad, and my mom is saved. So I would pray for my dad and my brother, you know, and make sure I was covering them and standing in faith for them. And here I was in unforgiveness, you know, and... it's just it just goes to show you that how the Lord, he allows certain things, you know, and I'm not saying that it's justified, it's not, but, you know, I mean, he allowed it, you know, and it's just really, we really need to constantly check our hearts, because, you know, the times that we're coming into, the fruit of the wicked is getting so much worse, and what they want to do is put your light out, you know, when you're shining the light. They want to come and put your light out, and they want to, you know, they want to get you in the flesh. That way that light that they're seeing in the spiritual realm goes down. And, you know, I just see it as a huge pitfall for a lot of Christians, you know, just like false revival and certain other things. It's one of the giant pitfalls.
Right, and I think the other thing we talked about is the unforgiveness towards your grandmother and towards your uncle really came about, not really anything that, it was very little what you experienced, it was more what was spoken into you through, like, your dad, correct? Because of his bitterness?
It was both. It was a bit of both. Yeah, a lot of it was him, and a lot of it was my own reasoning, too. Yeah, but it definitely, the stuff about my Uncle Bobby was really spoken into me, I believe that, yeah. But my grandma, I mean, there was, it was a bit of both for my grandma, but for my Uncle Bobby, yeah, it was definitely transference of spirits there.
Right. Because I was really seeing, because when you kind of shared that, I was really seeing how, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, his word is spirit and life, but somebody that is in bitterness, what they're speaking is in spirit and death. And if
Absolutely.
if you take heed to listening to the railing and the criticism and the anger and the, you know, that part of it, that spirit will jump on you.
Yeah, that was
right? And that'll become part of you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was something that happened in my life, you know, at the age of 9. I remember it was at the age of 9, and it was also when I was 13, when that stuff really settled in. And, you know, that's the same exact way, Tim. I mean, what you said nailed it, you know, his words are spirit and love. That's the same way that, like, for instance, the false revival, it's the same way that these people receive a false revival spirit, is they constantly receive another word, which is leaven. They receive another Jesus, and they receive a false teaching. And before you know it, they've got another Jesus, and they've got another spirit, and now they've got a working of error, you know.
Right. And the other thing is when we're, you know, when we're young like that, 9 and 13, we don't have the true knowledge. We don't have the wisdom. We just, you know, we kind of process everything through a 9-year-old's eyes. And a lot of times it's not even the full truth. It's just kind of how a 9-year-old sees it. But that's when a lot of us have gotten slimed when we were kids. You know, through situations of our family, through, you know, different things like that, us being young like that is when those spirits entered into us, when whatever it is, criticism, unforgiveness, you know, a lot of times those spirits come in when we're young, and then they become so familiar because we lived with them all our life. And, you know, as we come into the, you know, into the kingdom, and there's such a familiar spirit that we think it's just us. We think it's just normal, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, the Lord needs to reveal it. And, so we can get set free of those things.
Amen. Amen.
So, but, man, that's awesome. So we just see how good God is. To take somebody that's dealing with, you know, schizophrenia and anger and suicide and just all that, and just start shedding that off, start, you know, delivering and healing and that just through the walk as far as that. But sometimes it's the unforgiveness. It's those deep-rooted type things that, you know, take some time to reveal, and it takes some time to get set free from. So, all right, Bill, that was an awesome testimony. I don't know if anybody's got any questions or for Bill.
I just wanted to say that, Bill, that was very good. And it very instructive, and you communicated it really well, and I really got a lot out of it. Thank you so much.
Hey, well, Bill, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
This is Dave Nelson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Hey, how did you know you still had unforgiveness even after you thought you had forgiven him?
Well, I didn't know I had forgiven my brother and my dad when I first came here. He revealed it to me. But Tim ended up praying for me, you know, just to reveal any unforgiveness. I don't know if you said a dream or not, Tim, but he may have, you know. A lot of us pray that way, you know, for the Lord to reveal stuff in dreams. Well, the Lord gave me a dream, and I woke up, and I laid down in the morning, I think it was Saturday morning, and my roommate Brandy, he goes, says, "Hey, what's up, buddy?" And I said, "Man, I think the Lord just showed me I'm in unforgiveness towards my uncle and my grandmom." And so I immediately started dealing with it, and I had a couple of corresponding dreams letting me know that I was dying out to that sin and dying out and releasing and forgiving. And then finally, I didn't dream about it at all. And I knew that it was a done deal, you know?
Hey, Dave. Basically, what happened was is I'm just seeing Bill just grow in the Lord, and I know. I mean, he's very grounded in the Word. He's got a gift for bringing forth the Word. He knows deliverance. He knows. I mean, he's got a real good depth of spiritual warfare and that. But I would see him at one point, and he'd be so grounded in the Lord. And then, I would see him at another point, and he would be frustrated and angry and ready to give up. And, I mean, he'd just be in a trial. And really what it was is I just saw that there was just torment there. Where one day, I mean, he's just, just in a great place with the Lord, and then all of a sudden he's frustrated, and he's ready to leave Tennessee or whatever. It was just this, like a pendulum swinging, And I just, in my heart, it was like, man, he's in torment. When you're just turned over like that, and you don't have the peace of the Lord, and it just keeps happening. It was like, and the Lord kept showing, giving you what he kept showing you some numbers, right?
Yes, the Lord was. I would open up the Bible and just the thing is. The Lord had not revealed to me that I was in unforgiveness, and I thought that somehow the enemy was just trying to take me out. And so what I was doing was just totally in fight mode, fighting the devil, binding loose, fasting, praying, reading the Word, like I said, I would climb and climb and climb that Mount Zion, and I'd get to feeling the renewed mind of Christ and get to feeling healed and get to feeling great. And it would just knock out, everything would knock out from under my feet. And, but in the midst of all that, I kept seeing the number 13. And I saw it all the time, to the point where I was starting to get upset. Because I knew what it meant. I believe it's, don't quote me on it, but I believe it's Mark chapter 4, and it's in other places as well. Jesus lists 13 things that proceed out of a wicked heart, and they're basically the works of the flesh. Now, I wasn't involved in those things, but I was not willingly involved in those things. But the unforgiveness that I had in my heart, and the root of bitterness that I had in my heart, and the hatred and towards my Uncle Bobby, I wanted to hurt him. And that was causing the wicked things to come up out of my heart. And, the Bible's very plain. The Word of God is sown in our heart. Our spiritual sight comes from our heart. The renewed mind of Christ renews your heart. It's all about the heart. The Lord circumcises your heart. And so when those things were coming up out of me, out of my heart, it was like I wasn't even in control. And I would feel unbelief in my heart. I would feel these things in my heart well up inside of me. And I didn't know how to control it other than to cast it out every time it came. But it just kept coming. And kept coming because the root was never dealt with. You're dealing with the fruit. You're not dealing with the root. You're just dealing with the spirits that go with that flesh and that go with that sin and iniquity. But I kept seeing the number 13. I knew what it meant. But unforgiveness wasn't in there. And it's just another thing that goes to show you that the Lord was just using it, every week it was the same thing. Every week, again and again and again, up the mountain, drop back down the mountain. Sandy Shaw had a dream a month ago. She shared it with the brothers and sisters here. There was a soldier who was climbing a rope, and the demons were pulling him down. And he would climb the rope, and he would kick the demons off, and he'd get to the top of the rope, and then boom, he'd be back down at the bottom. then the whole process would just go over and over and over, and then the knots started getting less and less, and the rope started getting thinner. So I thought, in my mind, I was thinking, okay, to him that hath not, it shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. And I thought that maybe I wasn't being diligent enough. Maybe I, you know, maybe I had some type of love of the world in me. I thought maybe I had an idol. I mean, and I just kept searching and kept destroying and, you know, and kept going. And she had that dream where, you know, okay, well, the Lord's just basically making you an overcomer. And I thought, well, I'm not sure what I think of that, you know, as far as for me, because I knew when I heard it, I knew that that person was me. I knew it. There's no other way, because I had gone through that same thing every week for 2 years here at UBM, you know, and just climbing that rope, climbing that rope. But, it just really, until the Lord revealed what the root was, I couldn't deal with it, you know, and it was totally blocking my ability to love people at work. It was a block of my ability to care about people at UBM to a certain extent, to go the full way, you know. It's not that I didn't have love and affection towards them. It's just that there was a wall that was stopping me from going into real brotherhood, you know, and so... I mean, that's pretty much what happened. I kept seeing that number 13, and I was trying to deal with it. And but it wasn't until the Lord dealt with it, you know.
And I think the thing is that, you know, I've known Bill as an overcomer. And he's, you know, we've got a relationship that if I see something, if I see him being critical or something like that, you know, I could point it out, and he'll say, yeah, you're right, I repent. You know, he's quick to repent. But I truly believe that it was nothing with me. It was just the Lord had brought him to a point of, I mean, to the bottom of that rope, you know, just, you know, and it was like he was just at a point where he was just ready to give up. And I think he just totally surrendered at that point. Because he was just so frustrated, you know, he's just trying to, you know, he's trying to live for the Lord, and he wants to be a good witness and all this, and you know, he just kept going around that mountain, but I think that it was just the timing of the Lord. He was just at a point of just, you know, he just hit bottom, and you know, and it was I just let him, you know, just. Share everything that was on his heart, and then I just said, let's pray. And all I saw was that he was in torment, and I know that, you know, unforgiveness is the base of being turned over to the tormentors. And if you're in a trial that you can't get out of, or you keep, you know, you might get out of it for a while, and then you're back into it, you know, that's happened to me, and I'm still, you know, dealing with some things that, you know, you want to get through with these trials, and you get into a season where you think you're through, and then all of a sudden you're back into that trial, and then you just, and what your flesh wants you to do is get angry at the Lord, and you know, it wants to convince you that, you know, you're not called, you're not overcomer, you're just wasting your time, you know, and it just tries to get you into condemnation. I've been there, and I can totally relate to that. So, you know, so we just prayed. That's the thing is we just got to get to the place and, you know, be humble enough to, you know, just pray and believe. And, you know, and that's why we come together, you know, in this fellowship here. Is, you know, because sometimes it's just we get in situations and we just need, you know, maybe our faith isn't there, but, you know, we just, you know, bring our faith together with some other brethren you know, we just ask them to reveal. Because, I mean, the Lord loves us. You know, he wants us to get through these trials, but sometimes he's got to humble us and bring us to a place of humility. And so we can, you know, truly overcome as far as that. Amen.
Amen.
All right, any other, because I told Bill I'd let get him out of here because he gets up early, but any other questions or that for Bill?
No, thanks, Bill. That was great. It's nice hearing from you again.
Well, it's just, I want to pray for Bill, because the enemy doesn't like us sharing testimonies like this. And so, Father, right now, I just call it just a hedge of protection around Bill. And we just thank you for him. We thank you for just you working in him. And we thank you for this testimony that can encourage others and help us, Lord. And we thank you for just the boldness and truth you put into Bill and the willingness to come on and share about, you know, his trials and overcoming. And Lord, you've done a mighty work in him. And it just gives us faith as far as for the loved ones we're praying for. It gives us faith for just the awesome things that you can do in our lives, Lord. And we just thank you for healing him and delivering him and setting him free and growing him up in you and to be an overcomer. And we just thank you for just all that you're doing in his life, Lord. And we just put our faith together with his prayers for his family and their salvation and his brother. And we just praise you, Lord. And we thank you for just the mighty work you're going to do in them and getting them out of the bondage and setting them free from Sodom and Gomorrah and breaking those generational curses off of them. And we just praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I'll see
right,
you guys
love
later.
Love you, man. Go get some sleep. All right. Now, I thought that was when Bill shared that the other night, I just saw the joy and peace in him and the excitement. And I just knew that he was free, that the Lord had done a mighty, mighty thing there. And it was just awesome to see the transformation. So it's just a matter of, I guess the other thing I see is we really got to pay attention to our dreams. I mean, I really see always talking to people, you know, in dreams or even giving other people dreams, you know, as a warning for you. And, you know, just how powerful those dreams are. So, all right. All right, who else has got something they'd like to share or any thoughts about what Bill shared?
Well, I appreciate what Bill shared. It's really informative because I think we all go through struggles. I know I go through mine. And a lot of my biggest struggles has always been because I've been on a path looking for truth so much that it's hard for me to receive error. And if I see it, it's hard for me to feel comfortable around it, you know, if not have a loving heart for somebody that's in there. Not that I'm trying to put somebody on a cross, but I see people that are practicing something I know is wrong, and I have a hard time not trying to feel like sometimes, especially if they're in a position of, like I was sharing with Michael, a position of some kind of authority to kind of give them a chance to see this might be wrong, and then when they don't want to acknowledge it, then I have I feel somewhat responsible to expose it a little bit sometimes, but that makes me feel bad when I do that. You know, it's not like I'm trying to go out of my way to start a fight, but it's like all of a sudden it's like I think the Lord puts it in front of my face to see what I'm going to do with it. And I sometimes have a tolerance level that doesn't go as far as I need it to be for a loving way. And I wonder if that's some kind of unforgiveness on my part. I mean, I'm not trying to be personal about things, but at the same time, I just don't like seeing the air because I feel there's so much out there that people are being destroyed for. And for me, too, it's like we're all searching to make sure we're on the right path. That's what bothers me the most, I think, about this whole walk we have, is making sure we're receiving things correctly and not getting air. And then when we finally see the air, to be so sensitive to it that, you know, we stay away from it. But if we see it being drawn in with people we know or have experience with, then it becomes somewhat a little more too interpersonal than I'd like it to be. That's my problem, I guess. Just expressing myself there. I guess I would love that prayer. If I have something in my heart that needs to be exposed so that I can start dealing with that, that would be great. Because I don't want to be in a path where I'm always on a war path with people. It's not like I'm trying to be. But it's like I don't feel like I feel comfortable with seeing the things that are wrong. And I can't just let it lie sometimes. And that gets in my way.
Well, I think that, that's a good point because, I mean, it's possible that we could have unforgiveness towards the people that are in error or are teaching other people error. And I don't know, because the thing is they don't even know they're in error. I don't think most of them do, but... a lot of them think they're really running after the Lord and think what they're doing is right. And the Lord hasn't given them the full knowledge. And if the Lord has, then, woes to them as far as that. If they're, if they're just running after money or running after fame or whatever it is, and that's what most of them are running after. But we just have to guard our hearts that we're not judging or critical, because that's one of those things is, even with Bill, he was like living for the Lord, praying. I mean, he was just in a great place with the Lord. And then all of a sudden his, drug addicted brother and girlfriend moves in and his dad moved him in. And, that one thing, he just got into the judgment and then all his cards started to fall. And it didn't stop when he got to Tennessee. I mean, the Lord, he totaled his truck, lost his truck, ended up in the hospital, and he was in a rough time. But the thing was, once the Lord revealed that, he forgave him from his heart, and then the Lord did a miracle on healing his hip, and it was. He got through that trial and got an awesome healing, but then the Lord had to shed another layer of that onion as far as other things that were deep rooted that went way back into his childhood. So I guess with you, Dave, that I would just make sure there's no bitterness or that towards the people, and you just have a heart for the ones that you're administering to. But, I've been there too, where we just want to tell them everything we know. And, we want to help them and all that. And they're just, they're so caught up in that spirit that they don't want to hear it. And unless the Lord changes their heart, unless the Lord, and that's really what I've learned is it's just we got to pray for them. We got to let the Lord open the door. And, so I don't know if anybody else has got any thought on that.
Well, I've been kind of guarded not to throw it all at once. I know about how to do that now. you got enough experience in my belt. But still, you're still sharing things, pointing them in that direction, not letting them off the hook, but kind of giving them a little bit of the truth, but at the same time, when I get done, it's not like I feel like I'm happy that I did that. But even though I know what I'm showing them is scriptural, it's like I feel like I picked up a burden I didn't have to pick up. I shouldn't have picked up, but it's like it stared me down, and I thought, am I the one? If I don't say something, I walk away. It's like. I feel like I can't ignore things either. I feel like I got to give this guy a chance to start seeing some truth. I know for me personally in my life, if somebody didn't challenge me, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't have been trying. I would have been happy to be dumb and stupid in the denomination and just unhappy and thinking that's the way things are until somebody challenged me in my beliefs where I had to actually dig into scriptures. And I'm not trying to justify, that's how you have to approach people, but I just know you need to have something rub up against you in order to, to feel uncomfortable. I'm not going, I'm I'm not looking for people to talk to. I'm not doing that. But you have plenty of opportunities in this world, that's for sure. You know, especially, and I work in a perfect opportunity for that. But I have to get to the point now where I just know I can't say too much to anybody because they're not going to hear it. I just know that there's spirits there. So I just wonder, well, Lord, that's going to be your timing, not mine, for that stuff. Not that I'm even going to be the one that's going to share anything. But even then, you know, I look at the water and the field I'm in. It'd be great to come down to Tennessee and live for a couple of years like Bill and have all the rough edges knocked off at once. But I'm not really, like some of us aren't in that ability to just to walk away from the plane we've got, especially got a family still to do that. So it's just some interesting, you know, how people's lives are working with the Lord. You become somewhat envious, thinking, he's really getting to, you know, work out his salvation faster. But, you know, we kind of stuck out here in the field still. That's all. That's kind of my thought.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've always found when I talk to people like you're talking about, David, is if they start to get irritated with what you're saying, you know, it's time to kind of cool off and back off, and let's let him go on and see. Let him see that you're not irritated. You've got this quietness about you, and you've got this rest in your heart that you don't have to explain the Word of God to them if they're not going to listen, you know. So that's what I do. I just back off when they start getting irritated with whatever it is that I'm saying to them. And it generally works.
Yeah. I mean, actually, Bill and I were just talking because he was, you know, he's been working this one job. I think it's probably going on 2 years now, but you know, he's been in this situation. He knows the Lord has got him in there, and it's just crucifying to him because there's a lot of worldly people. There's a lot of church Christians, and you know, he's really not been able to share much around the people. And he sees, you know, there was, you know, someone who's, you know, spirit-filled, you know, claims to be born again, and you know, they're living with their boyfriend, and you know, just all these things going on, and he sees the curse going on and stuff like that, and it was probably, I don't know how long ago, 9 months or so to a year, there was another guy that you know, he was wanted to have a Bible study, and you know, Bill went to the Bible study, and he just saw it was just you know, kind of apostate type teaching, just, you know, real churchy type stuff. And he just went one time. But the thing was, is he, you know, at that time when the guy asked him, you know, Bill suggested why don't we pray for this place that we work at? And they ended up, they got there at like 4 a.m. and they walked the whole plant and they anointed the doors and prayed over it and did this thing, and it was, you know, it was an awesome thing. But then for the next 9 months or that door with this person just wasn't opened. But Bill kept praying for him. He keeps praying for everybody at work and stuff like that. And from time to time, people come up and ask him a question or, you know, and that, and, you know, he'll give them a little bit of truth or, you know, so, you know, he's being used of the Lord, but it's just, not, it's just here and there. But then in the last couple of weeks, this guy that he walked the plant with 9 months ago, all of a sudden, you know, came to him and just started asking him questions. And, you know, Bill started, you know, the guy was hungry. And he wanted to know about the false revival. All of a sudden, he got turned out of the false revival, and Bill knew about the false revival. And once he knew about that, the guy started asking a bunch of questions, and you know, they got onto the sovereignty of God, and then, you know, Bill was able to give him a couple of David books, and the guy's reading David's books, and then he said the other day, it was like he had his lunch, he had a half-hour break for lunch, and this guy came in, and he was just asking Bill questions, and he said, you know, Bill was amazed because this, you know, just knowledge was just coming out of him. He said it was for 27 minutes straight because he had a 30-minute break and he didn't even have time to eat his sandwich. But he said just all this knowledge came out, and he knew it wasn't him. He knew it was all the Lord. And this guy got so excited. He says, I just want to go home and read my Bible right now, you know. But that is after almost, you know, a year and a half to 2 years of just praying and believing. And all of a sudden, you know, the Lord is opened the eyes of one of the guys that he works with, and now he's on fire for the Lord. And but for such a long season, there was just nothing. It was just persecution and people coming after him, and Christians, you know, that were calling themselves Christians were rebuking him, and you know, he was seeing them do stuff at work that wasn't Christ-like at all, and so he couldn't, you know, the Lord was testing him not to get into judgment, and when he did, he got spanked, and, you know, he put him in a lot of trials to, you know, and to bring him to a point of, you know, totally overcoming. And now, you know, now he's opened up the door to somebody at work, and you know, it's exciting for him. But I don't know. It's sometimes we want to push it along, you know, stronger. But we just gotta wait on the Lord and take it from there. You got something, Malcolm? Malcolm. So, all right. Anybody else have a thought? Testimony? Gotten any dreams? Anything they'd like to share? Everybody's awfully quiet. Well, I did get Michael Harris looked this up and sent it to me, and this was the dream or vision that Michael Baldea had that we brought up last week, and I was just kind of reading through this, and it was pretty interesting. I thought I could share a little bit of this. But it says, I'd never heard this before, so I thought it was kind of neat. But it says, I dreamed I was walking down a street, but to the left and to the right of me, everything was utterly destroyed. If not for the foundation sticking out of the earth, one would not have known anything had stood there. I have seen the aftermath of earthquakes while living in California in the 80s. I have likewise seen the aftermath of tornadoes live and in person, and this looked like neither of the two. The best way I can describe it is that the entire street seemed to have been razed. From trees to homes to fences, everything had been flattened and annihilated. The street curved to the left, and as I followed it, turning the corner, I was surprised to see a house standing a couple hundred yards ahead of me on the right. There was nothing special about the house. A single-story home with a porch and a porch swing. Once painted white, but what I could gather, but having taken on a charred look. I quickened my pace, as even in my dream, this seemed odd and surreal. And as I approached the house, I heard what could only have been prayer coming from inside. This was no typical prayer. It was passionate and fervent, and the only time I remember having heard prayer like this is when we would have prayer nights in our home in Romania during the communist occupation. This was anything but a restraining prayer gathering, and the voices coming from inside the house were praising God and giving glory to Him. So I was just, when I was reading this, I was seeing that, you know, when we're under persecution or, you know, we're in bondage and we're crying out to God, you know, our prayer tends to be, you know, more passionate and fervent when we're in times of, you know, persecution and bondage. And we're, you know, pleading mercy, you know, we're, you know, pleading deliverance, and we're just crying out to the Lord. So, you know, when we're in a trial or that, you know, we tend to just, you know, really get into more fervent prayer, you know, from other times. And, but it says, it went on to say, I stood just short of the front step and listen to the prayers coming from within the house until in my dream I woke up. As I awoke from my dream within a dream, the man I have grown accustomed to seeing was standing at the foot of my mattress. Do you understand what you've just seen? He asked without prelude. I believe I do, I answered somewhat confidently. The man gave me a look one might give to a slow-witted individual and said, perhaps in part, and reached out and touched my shoulder. Suddenly, I was back in the same street, and I realized this only because of the house with the porch swing. Now a pristine white, it was the only thing that was the same as in my previous dream, because now there was trees and homes up and down the block. It looked and sounded like a typical neighborhood, but above the din of the chirping birds and the barking dogs, I could hear prayer coming from inside the home with the porch swing. It was the same kind of fervent, passionate prayer I had heard on the previous occasion. I strained to hear what they were praying for, but I could only hear snippets from time to time. As I made to climb the first of the three steps, I was back in my bed when the man standing patiently by my mattress. Now you understand, he said. Tell them not to fear, but to draw close to the Father, in whom is shelter from the storm and protection from destruction. I then woke up, disorientated, wondering for a while if this was yet another dream within a dream. Realizing that it was not, I knelt beside my mattress and started to pray. So I was just kind of saying that, you know, we need to have that same, you know, passion and fervency, you know, when we're praising Him and giving Him glory, as we would, you know, when we're crying out and pleading for mercy and grace and deliverance. And, you know, we talked last week that we need to be on the offense, you know, by drawing close to God before the destruction comes and entering into His protection before the storm hits. And, you know, he's been warning us for quite a long time to run into His shelter. And we just need to, you know, take heed to that. And, I was thinking of, you know, James, where it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall exalt you. And I was just saying, we're, you know, cleansing our hands, or, you know, it's our works, and purifying our hearts, which is, you know, taking our thoughts captive and casting down those vain imaginations, and forgiving, and you know, casting down any thoughts of bitterness or criticalness and stuff like that. That the mourning, you know, is really the crying out, and your laughter and your joy is what brings your flesh satisfaction. And our flesh is always striving to be happy, and we'll do whatever it takes to, you know, to achieve satisfaction. So through feeding, you know, the lusts of the flesh, and, you know, just whatever we do as far as in entertainment and food and addictions and fantasy and, you know, sexual moralities, and, you know, we're in uncleanness and iniquity, but we're told to draw near and cleanse and purify our works and our thoughts. And we're told to, you know, basically humble ourselves so that the Lord can exalt us. And, you know, it's just, it's a type of, you know, offense as far as drawing into the Lord. And I think that's what a lot of us are trying to do. But we need to have that same, you know, fervent prayer when we're crying out to Him and praising Him you know, and just not waiting for times of troubles and tribulations. But Michael Bodea went on to say that I've not released a dream or a vision in 2 years, and if not for the specific instructions of Tell Them, I would have been hesitant in releasing this dream as well. As I explained in a recent radio interview, the reason why I have not released any visions or dreams is because many within the household of faith have become, for lack of a better term, prophecy junkies. At every gathering, at every meeting, there is always the inevitable, "What's the Lord been showing you lately?" as though He hasn't shown us enough, or as though His word is not clear enough. And I saw that as so true, is that, you know, people are, I mean, there is prophecy junkies out there that are constantly looking as far as, you know, what's the Lord doing, and they're, you know, they're constantly, you know, being fed on that and not really seeing all the warnings He's brought us in the words, and not, you know, those type of things. And I've seen it even, you know, some people have come through this ministry where they're so caught up on the being prophecy junkies, that when they hear about dying to your flesh or living the crucified life or forgiveness or, you know, a lot of the things that David teaches on, their flesh doesn't want to hear that. They just want to hear about end times. They want to hear what the Lord's doing. They, you know, they don't want to get cleaned up themselves. They don't want to be in the bride. They just, you know, a lot of them just want to be prophecy junkies. And typically what happens is that, you know, when they're faced with, you know, where they can't be lifted up or can't be somebody or can't be, have a position or something like that, is they just fall away, because they want to feed their flesh, you know. So it says, he went on to say, I especially asked permission of God to withhold what He was showing me for a season, and have single-mindedly focused on preaching Christ and Him crucified wherever I was asked to preach, because our safety, our shelter, and our protection is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, Savior, and King. Our refuge, our shelter, our place of safety is not a geographical location. It is in the arms of Jesus, in the will of God, in fellowship and intimacy with Him. If we are walking in the will of the Father, then we have nothing to fear. If we are being obedient to His word, His guidance, and His leading, then wherever He will guide us will be a safe place, and wherever He will lead us will be a place of shelter. Our safety is found in obedience. If God has told you to go to a certain place, then do as He has commanded. If, however, God has not spoken, then be at peace wherever you are, for for God is able to protect you in the midst of the storm. And I thought that was, I mean, just profound, because really our safety is found in obedience. You know, He is going to guide us. You know, He's going to lead us. I mean, He's going to make sure we're safe if we're walking in obedience the best we know how. And I think, you know, most of us are. And, you know, as long as we're, you know, we're doing the best we can to be in obedience, then He's going to protect us and take care of us. And that's where, you know, the Psalms 91 comes in and all that. But if we're in willful disobedience, or if we're, you know, pumped up and unforgiving and full of pride and you know, thinking we're better than others because, you know, we've got the label Christian or that, then, I mean, that's not walking in obedience. So, you know, so that the main thing is it's our safety's found in obedience, and that's the Word, and doing the best we can to abide in that Word. And when He shows us that we're going astray, getting back on the path, and getting our eyes on Him, not looking back, not looking at ourselves, but allowing Him to guide us, you know, on that path. Michael goes on to say, it is time to draw close to God than ever before. It can come before Him in prayer and fasting, in righteousness and in purity of heart. And that's what Bill was talking about today or tonight. It's all about the heart. And you know, and that's where the Lord is trying us, is in our hearts. Michael says, the day draws near when we will behold the miracle-working power of our God firsthand, when we will see what our God can do and glory in His omnipresence. It says, he gives Psalm 18, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. And Psalms 25 says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. And that's such a awesome prayer right there. Show me your way, Lord. Teach me your path, Lord. Lead me in your truth, Lord. Teach me, Lord. You are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. So that's just where we need to be, is humble before the Lord, asking for His guidance, asking Him to teach us, asking Him to show us, to lead us. And that's what He did with Bill. He, you know, He gave him the dream and, you know, showed him what the root was. And when He does those things, we just have to take heed. And He's going to set us free. Amen. Oh. All right. Anybody have a thought? Don't get quiet on me now. Revelation want to pray, need prayer, got a word from the Lord.
I got four Bible verses I could share that I got off eSword all sporadically through the day. I've got to end them.
All right, that's awesome.
This one's from Proverbs 8:34. It's not the first one, but the first set's a little more on another side with the issue I was talking about earlier. Anyways, this one's Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And then Zechariah 2:10 came up sometime after that. Sing and rejoice. I got this tonight. Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for lo, I am come, and I dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Then Romans 11:16 came up. And if the first fruits is holy, so is the lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And then, you know, I don't just bring it up all the time to see what he's going to tell me. If I got something I want to look up, I'll bring a piece of it, but I'll check and see what else came up first and write it down. This is the last one just came up, was Matthew 13:51. Have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea.
Amen. I was, I think I was in Matthew, you know, just, I've just been kind of, I keep getting drawn back to the New Testament, and I was just in Matthew, and no, actually, I think, I forget where I was at. There was one point, I think it was in Luke or something, but it was Jesus, when the centurion came to him, and in Luke, what it said was that the centurion sent his elders, and then when Jesus was near, he sent his friends out to talk to Jesus. And, you know, said that, you know, I'm not worthy for you to come in my house and all this. And Jesus, you know, shared that I haven't seen this much faith. But it was kind of interesting is it was different in Luke than it was in Matthew, where you know, he was talking to centurion one-on-one, and I'd never seen that before, where, you know, in the one, it was like the elders and his friends were sent to Jesus, but in the other one, it was, you know, talking directly to Jesus. So I saw that, and, you know, I was just going through Matthew, and I was just seeing where he was talking about, as far as Jesus being tempted, where, you know, he was sent into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. As you know, he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, and I just saw that, you know, Jesus was being led by the Spirit, and that, you know, that's something that we need to be led by the Spirit. And but there was a difference in Mark, you know, because if we're not led by the Spirit, we might be driven by the Spirit, because Mark said, in straight way, the Spirit driveth him forth into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. So I was seeing that in there, they pointed out that the wild beasts, you know, were in the wilderness. And, you know, then I thought of the scripture as far as with Peter, where it says in Acts 11, it says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending, and it was a great sheet let down, you know, by the four corners, and it came even unto men, upon which when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw the four-footed beasts of the earth, and the wild beasts, and the creeping things, and the birds in the heavens. And I saw that as, you know, the Lord was showing Peter that the what was on that sheet, which were the, you know, the wild beasts and that, were kind of the common and unclean Gentiles, or the multitudes of heathens that were, you know, possibly used by Satan, okay, well, you know, as far as, I just saw it as, you know, the people that are is used around us that may be, you know, unclean or that, or might be, you know, heathens or that Satan uses to tempt us. And, you know, and then, you know, the different temptings was, you know, called a rock, you know, become bread. And I sort of saw that as, you know, that our flesh, you know, what pleases the flesh, food and to cast yourself off of this temple, and, you know, which was, you know, testing God. Did God really say that? And bow to me and I'll give you the kingdoms and the glories of this world. And it was as far as he could see. And I was really seeing that the world's got its own kingdom, and it's what we can see around us is the world's kingdoms. And they've got their own glory. And it says that they were all given to Satan. They're all under him, under his authority. And he was, you know, just telling Jesus to, you know, bow to him and he'll give him whatever he wants. And I just saw that as far as, you know, the types of things of, you know, just whatever's out in the world. It's just, you know, just sell yourself off to the world and, you know, bow to Satan and that's what he wants. So it's just the, you know, the different temptations that the Lord, you know, or that the Satan brought. And then there was a mention in there. It said that when he was done with his tempting, when I read it, it seemed like, well, he had a list, and when he was done with his list, then he left for a season. And, you know, I just kind of felt that, you know, the Lord's got different, you know, temptations for us. I mean, there's probably a list for us that we need to overcome, that we're tried on and tested on. And, you know, and those are those different things. And as we, you know, as we overcome one area, then he steps it up, you know, like he did with Bill. And okay, now we got to deal with this. So it was pretty interesting. So as far as just kind of seeing it in the spirit and just the Lord's just had me kind of drawn back to the New Testament, that which has been kind of interesting. So, all right, we've got a few minutes left. Does anybody need prayer before we close out? Well, let's go ahead and pray. So, Father, we just thank you for the awesome testimony that Bill brought forth, Lord. And, Father, we just ask if there's anything in us, if there's any deep-rooted unforgiveness or bitterness or anything that's unpleasing to you, Lord, we just ask that you just reveal it, Lord, that you just give us a dream, that you'll reveal it to us and make it clear and allow us to remember the dream and give us discernment of the dream. And, Lord, we just thank you. We just ask, Lord, that we want to be right with you. We want to be well-pleasing to you. And if there's anything on us, Lord, we just ask that you do with us as you did with Bill, is to give us a dream and give us the revelation of that dream, because we know you're no respecter of man. And, Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you for just continuing to work on us and to bring us closer to you, Lord. And, Lord, we just want to draw near to you. And we just want to, you know, just give you praise in all things, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you that you just increase our faith, increase our boldness, increase our love. Give us a heart of compassion. Give us a heart of just love for the people of this world, our family, and the people around us. And just a total compassion. Allow us to see people the way you see them. And we just ask, Lord, that you just use us to be a light, to plant seeds, to water those seeds, being led of you and not of our agenda. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for just bringing us to a place of humility, opening up our spiritual eyes and ears so we can be led of you, Lord, and teach us to just walk in the Spirit all the time. And Lord, we just ask you to bless everybody tonight that's in the room or couldn't make it in the room, that you'll just continue to pour out your blessings on us, pour out your blessings in our prayers. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for all you're doing in our families and in our lives. And we just ask, Lord, that you just bless David and continue to put your hedge of protection around him and just continue to give him revelation, knowledge, and truth to bring forth, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We just praise you in all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Another awesome night. We'll see you all next week.